Turn into your Bible to Luke 15, and let's pick it up in verse 11. So keep your Bible open. We're going to be going back to these verses and be reading from them. This is the word of God. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. So, this is the deal. The youngest son decides he does not want to be under the authority of the home. He decides, he gets up one day for some reason, and he decides that he does not want to be under the authority of the dad, of the father, of the parents. And I know that many parents experience this with their children when they decide the same thing. They don't want to live under the rules. They want to move out. They want to move out to an apartment. They want to do their own thing. You know what I'm saying? So this is a classic illustration of that, right? So the son came to the dad and he said, Dad, I don't want to live here anymore. I want to be independent. I want to live on my own. I want to be my own man, Dad. And not only that, Dad, but can I get my inheritance, by the way? Now, I laugh at that because, well, the Jewish tradition was this. Okay, if the father had two sons, you know, he would give the older son two-thirds of the inheritance, and he would give the younger son the one-third of the inheritance. This prodigal son was the youngest of the two sons. There are two sons. And he was basically saying, Dad, can you give me my inheritance? Can you give me the one-third of that inheritance that belongs to me? But here's the deal, though. Here's the issue, that normally inheritance are given not until after the dad has passed away. The dad has not passed away, but he's asking for the inheritance. So in reality, what is he asking? What is he saying? What was he really saying to the dad? He was saying this, Dad, I want you to die. In essence, this was pretty much insulting. It was humiliating. In other words, he was saying to his dad, Dad, I wish you were dead. Now, if this was a typical Middle Eastern father, he probably would have got slapped, you know, upside his head pretty good, and he would have been kicked out of the house. But this dad was different. This dad was a gracious father, and he extended grace to his son. Now, this term grace, a lot of times it's not understood. Like right now, okay? Here the father extended grace to his son that didn't deserve it. I mean, although hard to believe, this dad granted him this request. And this young son, he wanted what he wanted, and he wanted it right now. He wanted it right now. I mean, to me, the smart thing for this young kid, I mean, he had a father, a well-to-do, you know, dad in business. To me, the right thing would have been to stay home and, you know, and to continue growing the family business. This would have been the right thing to do, but this is not the case. So the father granted him this wish. Sometimes God's grace will allow us to do things that are not too smart. And you know something? God doesn't always stop us. God will sometimes say this, okay, have at it. And God will even give us the freedom to reject his own love. He will allow us to learn the hard way that we desperately need him. Because that's the case. That's reality. The reality is that at the end of the day, everybody, that we need God. And we need him desperately. And we need him especially in these times. We need him especially in these times of uncertainty. We need God. Many here today have a testimony of living a life without God, just like this prodigal son. And it's a possibility that today you're living a life without God, and you're realizing, and you know down deep inside of your heart, in your life, that there is an emptiness in your life. And I want to tell you today that that emptiness, that void that you have in your life, can only be filled with God. I want to tell you that today. Amen. So let's keep reading. So we see here in the story that there is a separation from the Father. And let's pick it up. Verse 13. This is going to get good, guys. Don't miss this, okay? Do not miss this. And so the Word of God says, "And not many days after, the young son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country," key word there, a key phrase, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent it all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Uh-oh. It's funny that my granddaughter, she, you know, when she sees that something, you know, got dropped or there's a problem, she understands that already. You know, she senses when there's like an issue, and she says, "Uh-oh," and she goes like this, "Uh-oh." So this verse here, it's a "uh-oh," it's an "uh-oh" moment. So here Luke is telling us that the kid, he basically cashed in his inheritance. I mean, this dude did not waste any time. He went to the closest cashiering place, you know, those places that cash your checks and all that. He went to the closest place, one of those places, to retrieve his money. Now, please note that the text says that he went to the far country. Now, I want you to make notation, at least mental note, that this description is more than just a geographical notation. Here, Jesus is giving a description of being separated from the Father. In fact, he mentions it, if you look at it very carefully, he mentions it more than twice, that he is in a far country, meaning that he is far from his Father, meaning that he is separated from God. He is separated from his Father. Verse 13 tells us as well that he wasted his possessions. He went to this far country with his bag of money. So what does he do with this money? Right? Like many, you know, he went and he wasted it all with his friends. He, you know, went to the bars, he went to the clubs, and he just wasted all his money, you know, living the vida loca. Remember that term a long time ago? Vida loca, the wild life. Okay. And that's basically what he did. He wasted all his money and his friends. But when the money was all spent, his friends were not there anymore. And that's just, isn't that common? That when the money is gone, the friends go too? You know, doesn't that sound familiar? So here he is in a far country. He has no money. His friends are gone, okay? Basically, he's by himself. And it's not a good place to be. I'll tell you that right now. It's not a good place to be. So he comes up with a plan. The plan was to get a job, earn his inheritance, and go back home. Basically, that was his plan A. So, in essence, he was trying to buy his way back into the family. So the plan was to get a job. Okay? That's a good idea. I mean, that's not a bad idea. But here with this Jewish young man, the only work that he was able to get was with a Gentile farmer. So, and guess what he starts doing? He starts slopping pigs. He starts working with pigs. Now, I want to tell you that this is not a job that is was not normally done by Jewish young men or by Jewish at all. And it was something humiliating to them. It was something that they you know, in with their traditions, they see as unclean. And so this was an awful experience for this young man. I mean, it was terrible. So he finally, you know, he goes through. So again, he goes through this experience. He asks his dad, "Hey, Dad, I want my money." Basically humiliating his dad, he goes off to this far land, and he wastes his money with all his friends. He has no money now, and now he's forced to get a job, but the job that he got is not a job really that he wants to keep. So he quits his job. He quits his job because it's not what, you know, was not for him. Basically, this job wasn't even making him money. It was basically just for him to have money to eat. So what a big problem, right? So it seems like, you know, the Bible says, and it seems like he comes to his senses. Okay, so I want to continue reading because it gets so good. It gets so good. So go to verse 17. He says this. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death." "So I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" Now, what Jesus says here, I think, is a pivotal moment in this story. Now, many believe that this is where he repents. And for I, in fact, thought that the same thing for a very long time. I mean, he was hungry. He was miserable. He was doing a dirty job. The Bible even says that he came to his senses. And it's here where many think that there was a moment of grace. But I'm going to say not yet. Not yet. Many believe that the prodigal son realizes what he has done. And again, many believe that there's a moment of grace here. But let's look at this again. Okay. So I want to ask you a couple of questions. All right. From what we've just read, I want to ask you this. Does this prodigal son get on his knees and confess before God? Do you see that anywhere in the verse? From what I've just read, did you hear me saying that, reading that from the text? Does he get on his knees and does he confess before God? Okay, let me ask you another question. Is there anything in this text about him being sorry for what he has done? I'm going to give you a couple of seconds to try to just go back in your mind, or if you have your Bible in front of you, to see if you find that anywhere in the text. Okay? So let me ask you one last question. Does he even once acknowledge that he has broken his father's heart in front of an entire community? Because let me tell you, the moment that you do that, the entire community knows about it. They're normally were tight-knit communities. And so it must have been very humiliating for the father, you know, at that moment, you know, and for the son to leave. So does he acknowledge this, that he broke his father's heart in front of a community, that he broke his father? Do you see that in the verse, in the text? Let me answer those questions for you. The answer is no. Basically, what you see here in these verses right now is that he's trying to get himself out of the mess that he's in. Yep. Now, let me ask you another question. Isn't that what we normally do? Isn't that what we normally attempt to do when we mess up, right? That we try to get ourselves out of a mess. Okay. And then what we do is then we try to scheme up a plan. Okay. That's what we do. And I'm telling you that because I'm telling you from experience, okay? From experience, I'm telling you that. And we come up with these plans, and unfortunately, those plans are not God's plans. And we come up with our own thinking. We come up with our own plan. So basically, this young man comes up with a plan A and a plan B. Plan A was, and we already know this, plan A was to work for the farmer, get his inheritance back, go back home and get reinstated. The problem with plan A is that he didn't get paid. He didn't get any money. He was working for food. So plan A did not work. Plan A is no good. So Houston, we have a problem. So now we have to go to plan B. And he sets plan B into motion. Okay, he sets his plan B to try to get himself out of a mess. Plan B was to go back to work for his father. Plan B was to become a servant and earn that inheritance money back. Now, again, I want to reiterate this. There is no remorse for what he did. There is absolutely no repentance. In fact, what he is saying in these verses, he's basically just practicing what he's going to say to his dad. In essence, there's almost like a manipulation effort to save his skin. He has hit rock bottom, everybody. And again, how many have not been there, done that, right? We all have. I know I have. And we do whatever we need to do in our thinking to save our skin. So I'm saying here that he was not sincere. Again, how do I know this? Now, watch carefully. The kid is going to tell his father the following. He's going to tell him this. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Now that sounds good, right? That sounds good. But I want to remind you something here, that part of the audience that Jesus had, remember, it was Jesus telling the story, it's a parable, okay? So Jesus had an audience. Part of his audience were the Pharisees. And let me tell you something, if there were people that knew the Bible inside and out, there were these guys. These guys knew the Bible, man. These guys knew the Bible. It was the Pharisees. They knew that when Jesus was saying the story and when the kid said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, they knew that Jesus was quoting Exodus. Now, listen to me here on this one. They knew that when the kid was saying that, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, they knew, the Pharisees knew that Jesus was quoting Exodus 10:16. You know what Exodus 10:16 is? It's where Pharaoh is saying exactly the same words. And he says this, I have sinned against heaven and you. So I want to ask you another question. Those that know the story, do you really think that Pharaoh meant it when he said that to Moses? And the answer is absolutely not. We know from that story that Pharaoh was trying to manipulate Moses. So did the prodigal son mean what he was saying here when he said those words? Again, the answer is no. So we come to the reconciliation of the father, okay, which changes everything, okay? So we have, okay, scene one, let's say, let's try to put it that way. Scene one, we have the kid, and the kid, you know, he makes some really bad decisions in life, just like any one of us would do and have done. He asks his dad for his inheritance. He humiliates his dad. And he goes off to this far-off country, separating himself from the father. And things go really, really bad. And God allows it sometimes. Things got really bad, and he says he lost his money, you know, with his friends and all of that kind of stuff. He had to get a job that, you know, normal Jewish people would not do. And he is starving to death. So he is in a very, very bad shape. And he decides, I have no choice but to go back to my father. Okay. But so that's where we are right now. So verse 20, follow me here. And it says this, but while he was still a long way off, his father Solomon was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I'm going to stop right there. Here, the prodigal son is tired. He is dirty, filthy, okay? Probably with some small bags of rags over his shoulder. His beard is grown, full beard, grown, dirty. His hair is not kept. He's probably not bathed in days, maybe even weeks. But notice something here. It is the father that notices him from like a very long way. It is the father that is just on constant watch for his son. And finally, the text says that the father sees him. He gets like a glimpse of his son, and he knew that that was his son because he knows his son just like God knows you. He knows our hearts. He knows who we are. He knows what we think. He knows everything about us. And the father, from very far away, he was able to see his son. He was able to recognize his son. The Bible tells us that the father comes down. He starts running, okay, towards his son. He starts running to meet his son. In essence, the Bible, the text actually says he races to meet him. Now, let me tell you something about that. In the Middle East, a man of his age always would walk in a dignified fashion. And it almost seems like this man had not run for 20 years, let's say, okay? Because that was the custom. You know, men his age, they would not, you know, do this. They would normally walk in a very dignified fashion, but to run, you know, would have meant this. It would have meant that he would have to take the front edge of his robe, and he would have exposed his legs, okay, and the skinny legs probably of an old man. So here, this father is violating the culture of that day and literally running to meet his son. But not only that, more than that, actually, the people of the village, they were watching him. And they were probably thinking, man, this guy has lost his mind. His kid humiliates him. Now his kid is coming back. He's all dirty. He's a bum. His beard is all grown, and he's got no, you know, not bathed. And here we have the old man running towards him. The old man racing. That was what the community was seeing, the village. He was taking it upon himself, is what he was doing, the shame of that his son deserved. Did you know that? He was taking it upon himself, the shame that his son deserved. He is taking the humiliation that belonged to his boy upon his shoulders. And that's what Christ did for us. That's what Christ did for you and for me. He took our sin. He put it on his shoulder. And when the dad finally gets to his son was barely able to utter any words due to the excitement of the dad. So where did the father find the son? He finds him at the edge of the village. Mind you that it's the father that goes out. It is the father that goes and runs towards the son. He finds the son at the edge of the village. Now let me tell you, the prodigal son was still lost. The prodigal son was still at the edge of the village when the dad goes towards him, and the son was still lost. He was still lost when the dad got to the outskirts of the town. It is the father that finds the son, because it is the father that is in constant search for his son. It is the father that is in constant search for us. It is our father that is in heaven. Everybody. And although he had humiliated his father never stopped loving him. Now, I want to take a pause here for just a second, because I know that some maybe that are connected here this morning are broken, because maybe you have children that are not walking with the Lord. And I want to say right now that and just counsel you that you never stop loving your children. Amen. Can you give me an amen to that?
Amen.
Can everybody give me amen to that? You never stop praying for your children. You hear me? You never stop praying for your children. You never stop loving your children. You never lose your faith with your children. We pray that that one day the Lord will touch their hearts and they will come back. Okay? I wanted to pause here for a moment to tell you that. Okay? We never lose hope on our children, everybody. Okay? You pray for them so that one day they will come back and God will touch their hearts and they will be able to accept them in their life. So the father goes out to meet his son, and what a tremendous joy it must have been for the dad. OMG, man. OMG. All right. So how do I know? Let's read. Let's continue reading these verses. Here he goes. Ready? Verse 22. And he says this. He says, so they finally get back home. They finally get back home. So, and this is what he says to his folks and back home, the dad does. He says, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he is found. So they began to celebrate. Wow. Wow. Now, do you know that the best robe that they had was actually the father's robe? That day, the prodigal son was going to wear his father's robe at the banquet, man. Man, that just makes me so emotional. And then he says, get him the ring, okay? Now, this wasn't just any ring. This wasn't just any ring. This was the signet ring of the family. It was the ring that business transactions are made. It is the ring that sealed the deal. So in other words, now this kid, this prodigal son that humiliated the dad at one point, that basically was telling dad, I want you dead. I and I want my money now. The dad is telling the servant, put the ring on his finger. If that's not enough, he says to them, you know, give him some shoes. Now, what is the meaning of shoes? In the Jewish family, members of the family wore shoes. The slaves and the servants were barefoot. The father wanted to make sure to everyone that this young man was not going to be his servant. This young man was going to be his son. And still the father is not done. Still the father is not done. He tells the next servant to bring the fattened calf. I mean, they had a party all up in there. They had a party. They were celebrating. I want to finish off today by saying this. Luke 15:10. That there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. You see that all that was done for that prodigal son that was once lost, but now is found, that is the joy that the Father has when that happens. There is a celebration, and it's because our God loves us so much.
Hi, Pastor Manny here. We thank you so much for tuning in. It's a true blessing for us. If you like what you heard today, please go right ahead and download the message or share it with others. But we also invite you to come to our church at Boynton Beach. God bless you all.